You're listening to Broad Topics. Four diverse women, one big topic. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
That's right, we do. We say anything we want, within reason, here on Broad Topics on LA Talk Radio. Oh, and we are joined in studio by a couple of really stinky guys. Oh my goodness. Hey, we got the movie guys here. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing stinky.
Stinky, yeah. They've already farted like four times in the studio. It's really inappropriate.
Now,
what have
on.
We done to deserve that?
First of all, that first one you asked for...
Oh no, Audrey.
It's what we do when we go into rooms.
Right?
Don't be around us when we're voting.
Oh Lord, have mercy. So what's up, guys?
Movies.
We're never at a shortage of things to talk about when it comes to what's in the theaters.
Sure.
If you wanted to know what the best thing out there to see is right
yes.
now.
Yes.
It's that time of year when the best thing out isn't necessarily the newest.
Okay.
The best thing out there is a movie that's about 3 weeks old, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Is it really the best thing out there?
It is.
Oh, that's really exciting.
Oh, you're excited.
I'm very excited because I can't decide if I like the previews or not. I think the previews look exciting, and then there's moments where I'm like, that looks like the cheesiest piece of poop I've ever seen.
I think the trailer undersells the movie. I went to see it this week, and I had a great time.
Oh, I'm so excited.
By the way, interestingly, there's two trailers, and there's the original trailer, which is the teaser trailer, and then there's a second trailer that when the, of course, I don't know if we should talk about the plot or whatever, but
yeah,
they bring in an ape, you know, and...
What?
Let me step back. There's apes. But they give the ape this drug that is supposed to cure Alzheimer's, actually... Much like in the movie Deep Blue Sea, they're trying to cure Alzheimer's and accidentally create a drug that makes the animals hyper-intelligent. So as I've always said, we have just got to stop trying to cure Alzheimer's.
Right.
It never goes well. The animals turn around.
A terrible idea. Terrible.
Was one of the bad kids, was that the Harry Potter kid?
Indeed.
Okay.
It was
Draco. Because his hair wasn't as white as usual, but I noticed the face. I'm like... Okay, he's doing a
it. It was Draco Malfoy, is it?
Yeah.
Who is he in that?
He was the son.
The Brian Cox's son.
Oh. He's a bad boy? Is that what you said?
He's just kind of jerky guy. You'll see when you
he
see
needs
the movie.
To stop. Yeah.
He must have found his essence. You know, sometimes these actors, they play one thing the best. You know, like Russell Crowe plays that brooding hero but doesn't want to be a hero kind of guy, you know?
And clearly Andy Serkis plays monkeys well.
Yes
clearly, yeah.
Meg Ryan monkeys romantic comedies
there
some
you
people
go.
Find their niche. I think Draco's gonna be sneering and probably
and he's
down
got those like he basically doesn't have any lips and that kind of makes him
they're always pursed
because
he's just so upset with everything.
Brian Cox is kind of always a bad guy lately too.
He's great.
He's so full of menace in everything I see him
in. Oh, I love him. I certainly do.
Well, the movie's full of good actors.
Yeah,
he's good. John Lithgow is great.
Ooh, I love him.
Now, like, I thought, what's her face? Frida Pinto had nothing to do. I mean, that was kind of like, not Frida Pinto.
No, Frida Pinto.
Oh, it's Frida Pinto. Yeah. You know, I mean, she's gorgeous. You know, but
that's enough for me.
Okay, so
that's largely what she's hired for, right?
But she didn't even move the plot along. It was like, oh, we gotta put a girl in here somewhere.
But she's a smart girl, a veterinarian, she brings that that aspect of it.
The great thing about The Rise of the Planet of the Apes and the fact that this has become one of the more successful movies, at least critically and with audiences, is, you know, we were just talking about Cowboys and Aliens, how there's a huge difference. Like a year ago today, we were hearing about Cowboys and Aliens is going to be the movie you're going to love, and you're going to love it so much, and you love these actors, and we're going to have so much fun, and can't you wait until this movie comes out. You know, however, Rise of the Planet of the Apes sort of like, it, you know, it was well advertised and everything because it is a Planet of the Apes movie. But there's sort of this sort of like it just was sort of rolled out there like a movie or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't know it's been out for 3 weeks.
Yeah. And audiences got to find that one. And they're like, well, this is the one we like, you know, because they had some ownership over it.
I feel,
you know,
3 weeks later. Is it still doing well at the box office?
I think so.
It is. Yeah. In fact, it beat all three of the big time 3D summer movies that came out this weekend.
Interesting.
Number one is The Help still.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah.
I knew The Help was number one.
Two is Rise of the Planet. And then
did you guys go see The Help?
Nobody fights crime in that movie, and I actually honestly have trouble seeing movies where people don't fight crime. So
I don't know if you've been tracking my movie going with my wife. Every time I come in here, I tell you I haven't seen Bridesmaids because my wife wasn't free to go and see it.
Right.
I went last week, 3 months after it came
out.
Were
your expectations so high that you were disappointed, or were they met?
We were just talking about that. I thought it was good. Like
I loved it.
It handled the characters really well. I thought the relationships and keeping them friends through tough things, and all that was done really well.
Mm-hmm.
The big laughs were okay with me. Best thing about it was the banter. Just a small talk between the girls was the best part
of
the movie.
And you can tell
a lot of that
was improvised, and it was fantastic. That happened to me actually when I was a kid with Ghostbusters, of all things. My family just couldn't go, and all the kids at school were talking about it. So by the time I went, it's a great movie, but I was kind of like, well, they said that line. I heard that one at school.
Oh, I hate that.
I heard that one at school.
That's the worst.
I felt that way about Zombieland. I was like, I had heard about it.
You gotta plug your ears, you know?
Well, yeah, and then you go to the movie and your arms are crossed and you're like, you better be good. And it wasn't good compared to that attitude, but anyway. Yeah.
Well, given that I saw Bridesmaids last week, I'm expecting to see The Help. Probably in November.
Have you read the book
November,
yet?
When my wife's free. No, I haven't.
You should read the book
first.
I've heard it's a great book.
I read it.
The movie doesn't do the book justice.
I've heard both. I've heard that it's good. It follows the book well, but you don't need to read the book to see it. I haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. I'm in a book club with someone, and we read the book and then go see the movie. Yeah. So
that book is one of those things. I was just traveling a little bit. I went back to a reunion, and on the plane, everybody's reading The Help. In the airport, everybody's reading The Help. Get to the reunion. There's a copy of Help that somebody's brought with them to read until people showed up. My aunt is reading The Help.
You can't. It's one of those books that you get partway through. And I don't think you need to be a woman to read it. You get partway through it. And I read like the first, it's about 500-ish pages. I read the first 200 over the course of a week and the last 300 over 24 hours. Like once you get into it, you're done.
My mom loved the book, you know, because that was that. When it's set was exactly when she was growing up. And she really related to it. But, I heard that the movie focuses too much on the women rather than the real plot of the book, which
was interesting.
You know, equal rights and all
well,
that.
No one read the book of Spy Kids all the time in the world, so that tanked as well. I did okay, but The Help and Rise of the Planet of the Apes both beat it. And again, just staying power of a good movie keeps Planet of the Apes around.
Planet of the Apes, too, I thought.
You said that Planet of the Apes beat out the three big 3D movies.
Yes.
What are the big 3D movies that are out right now?
So, yes, The Help and Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Conan 3D?
Conan is 3D. Fright Night is 3D.
I haven't even heard
of
that one.
And Spy Kids is 3D.
That's the Colin Farrell one.
Yeah.
I'm curious about Conan. Do you want to see that? I mean, I'm wondering if that's going to be a renter for me or if I actually want to see it on the big screen. You know?
You can rent that one.
Did you see it?
I did.
Yeah. It's a renter.
As I often say, so you don't have to.
Yeah. I'll believe you.
Yeah, it was, despite, actually, Jason Momoa, the lead guy, the new Conan, has charisma, and I would watch him do stuff, but just not in this movie because it's very bad.
Well, the interesting thing about Jason Momoa is, like, when he started on Stargate Atlantis, that was his first acting job ever, and he was so god-awful. And I remember talking to the casting director who cast him. They had to get him acting lessons. They had to, you know, it's just that he was so perfect for the role because he's so big, and he's so, he's super hot, right?
If you have a working knowledge of Stargate SG-1, I'm going to say that maybe you should go see Conan.
Yeah, it's true.
But, you know, I was never a big fan of his because he was just, I mean, he was so bad. But then Game of Thrones came out and something happened. I don't know if it's because he's had two kids with Lisa Bonet since then or he's had one kid with her. But did you guys watch Game of Thrones at all?
No.
No?
Sell me on it.
I'm one of those guys who has seen the pilot, so don't give away any plot points.
Well, he's in it as basically a Mongolian warlord thing, and he's very charismatic and the whole thing time he's speaking in a foreign language, and I was just like, damn, you're really good in this.
No, I liked him in this, but the rest of it, they're very awkward moments, poorly directed. Mm. You know, they just
any of the good sword and sorcery type stuff that I would go see as a fan of Krull or something?
Like, well, that was my like Beastmaster. Yes. Like, did you like the sword Krull, and the sorcerer or, with Richard Maul?
Yes.
And Lee Horsley.
Yes.
Maybe you'll like this. I don't know. But there's something to be said for the old quaint movies like Krull and sort of thriller, and the new stuff where every establishing shot is just some crazy, overly CGI'd. Yeah.
But was this? Here's a question for you two. Was this necessary? You know, because
no,
that's the thing.
And, oh, just, it wasn't.
You know, this week you hear Dirty Dancing. It's just like, you know, and so you got all these like 80s girls going crazy, saying, "Why are you trying to replace Patrick Swayze? No one puts Baby in a corner. It was done. Why are you doing it again?" And what the last few days, it's all about Blade Runner, which, you know.
The internet ran out of exclamation points, actually,
for when Blade they announced
Runner? Blade Runner 2. For bloggers getting so excited. But this is Blade Runner 2, not the remake
of
Blade Runner.
But they don't know. They don't know if it's a prequel or a sequel yet, right?
But it's not a remake.
Yes,
so
but
that's good.
I feel like, yes, I'm glad that...
Same director.
Because it would be crazy if Ridley Scott goes in there and remakes his own movie. That would be absolutely weird.
Right.
But to me, it's a little George Lucas syndrome, where he's going back in and creating this world again, but with, you know, technology from 30 years later. And I thought, I mean, Blade Runner in, was it 81, 80, something like that? I mean,
82.
Yeah. I was 1 year off.
it's the geek year. That's the famous geek year, right?
Is it geek year?
I think so. I think that's the year with Wrath of Khan, Tron.
Oh, it is Tron
Blade
year.
Runner,
I knew it was
right?
Tron year.
Yeah, you're right.
82,
you're
it's
right.
The major
On Golden
year.
Pond.
On Golden Pond. Good call.
No, but it set the tone for all futures in all sci-fi movies to come, where it was that bleak, rainy, advertisements everywhere. And I just can't imagine playing with that again. I mean, at first when I heard it, they said they're doing a straight-up remake, and that blew my mind. But then I did some further reading. They don't know if it'll be a prequel or a sequel yet.
That's just, you know, I think they've finally gotten to the point where it's like Hamlet. You go to see a production of Hamlet. You've seen Hamlet. You know what's going to happen. How are they going to do it?
Yeah.
Movies, they've just stopped... kidding themselves and go, all right, now we're just going to do Total Recall again, which they are. And
are they really?
Yeah.
Never
and
grand.
So
now,
Philip
K. Dick stuff. I guess.
That one needs to be remade because I think that concept is overshadowed by Schwarzenegger's presence. Yeah. Maybe Conan, not so much, but like Total Recall, like I kind of want to see a straight up sci-fi version that's not all about this lead character and how awesome he is. I guess.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like the original, but I'm just saying, like, that's a perfect reboot opportunity.
I can get around that. I can totally get around that. Yeah.
And that will have Colin Farrell as well, who was in Fright Night, so he's like Joe remake guy.
Did you see Fright Night?
Yes.
Yeah.
How was it?
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Pretty good.
Pretty fun. But I got to tell you, the thing that annoyed me most was when Avatar came out, how did you describe James Cameron's vision of Avatar?
The difference between James Cameron's 3D and all other 3D was that he wanted to make it a picture box, a window into another world.
Mm-hmm.
So that there was this great depth that you were looking into, as opposed to stuff coming out at you.
Yes. Right?
And that's cool.
And that's gone.
Yeah. But starting with Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides was the first movie I noticed where they just took the time to just throw stuff at you.
They've
one
started
of the characters
reaching out
was
again.
Dying. Yeah, he's one last reach out to the audience before I die. Yeah. And I'm not at a theme park. Yeah, I'm at the movies.
Exactly.
Fright Night does that ad nauseum. And I know I know your thoughts on this, but go ahead.
It is such a grand tradition for horror, though. I mean, you know, that's the one genre where you're allowed to get away with it. All the horror movies I saw when I was a kid that were in 3D, I mean, everything was coming out at you, and Creatures from the Black Lagoon, and...
But Friday you would 13th. Never talk about the good quality filmmaking of Jaws 3D.
No.
Or Friday the 13th 3D.
No.
But Fright Night actually does some stuff that sets you up to think that's actually pretty good. They've done some choices in how they put shots together and how they unfold stuff.
Well, at least
that's
they,
good that
at
when
least
the 3D happens,
that.
It's just it cheapens everything else. I'm pounding the table.
Do it.
No, I can't hear.
However, good reboot.
What's that?
However, very good reboot. Like the rebooted parts of it.
Uh-huh.
Like they set it in Vegas, which is a great idea, you know, because everybody's up all night sleeps during the day. So I thought that was a really cool part of it.
Do you think it would it work just fine in regular D, not in 3D?
That's how we saw it.
You saw it in regular D.
We saw it in 2D.
But what's so funny is you watch it in 2D, but you see various obvious points where people reach at the screen.
Yeah.
A DJ's throwing stuff into the crowd. One has to land in our laps. Yeah, he's tossing T-shirts out. Just because.
There's a trend right now where what do you call it? The 2D movies are doing better than the 3D ones when they're the same movie.
Yeah, look at this one.
Yeah, because they don't want to pay.
It's
too expensive.
And neither did we, so we went in 2D.
I am not, unless it's something like Avatar where it's going to somehow enhance the quality of what I'm watching, I just don't care.
I have said no to 3D movies after seeing Captain America in 3D because I'm the biggest comic book movie fan ever. And there are two types of 3D glasses. There's the plain film plastic ones, when you saw when you were a kid, like Avatar. And then there's this weird company that's got some scam going with Arclight, first of all, these big thick ones that are shutter glasses, and that is technology from 1985. That is how they made 3D VHS, and it's like putting on sunglasses to go see a movie. And I'm like, I kept taking my glasses off to go, I want to see this colorful red, white, and blue movie because I can't see it.
Yeah, you know? I went
to the 2D one. For Captain America.
Yeah, I saw Harry Potter, the most recent one, in both 3D and 2D, and enjoyed it. I mean, partly because it wasn't shot in 3D, so post-production 3D transition is a little awkward. There were a few awkward moments. But besides that, I saw it at Arclight where you have those sunglasses on.
It was terrible.
I wanted to see the color. I wanted to see, and those are relatively dark movies anyway in color. I mean, they're dark movies, and so putting on something that's darkening the picture, I can't see anything.
And that's a bright movie theater. I mean, the projection's really good there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a shame that if it's that dark, then what does it look like in another theater in America that's not...
Right,
that's true. I mean, you probably have people listening all over the world, but Arclight Cinemas in L.A. The finest cinemas you're going
right?
to see.
I know, people
I mean,
are
it
like
is just
Arclight.
A shame to darken the picture. And if depending on where you're sitting, the edges of the frame, edges of the screen... will be blurry too. You have to kind of sit back so you can take in the whole screen inside the glasses, if you know what I'm saying. Part of the glasses, if your vision, your shortened vision through the glasses doesn't spill out over to the edge of the screen, that edge of the glasses are gonna like make them fuzzy.
But I'm through the whole thing. Everybody listening, call the theater and say, do you have the ones that are the shutter frame glasses, or do you just have the plain plastic ones? And if it's a shutter frame, do not go.
Go
in regular D.
Go see Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
There you go.
Shot in 2D for your pleasure.
Awesome.
They were experimenting with 1D for that. But James Franco was just too charming.
Yes. He expanded the D.
Well, awesome, guys. Do you guys have any other movies you need to tell us about tonight, or... is that about it?
I think that's about it. We're excited for what's coming up. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, the new...
is that going to be good?
Another remake.
I think so. A remake of 1973 TV movie.
But it's in good hands. Guillermo del Toro, the guy who made Pan's Labyrinth.
I love Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah. I want to kick Katie Holmes, though. Is that going to affect my...
We'll find out.
Pleasure?
I liked her in Batman. The first Batman, I don't know.
What's wrong with you?
I guess
I still want to kick her.
Again, this is a superhero guy.
I guess I could like her again.
Hey, did you guys see The Guard yet?
No.
With Brendan Gleeson?
I have not yet, with Don
that,
Cheadle.
Don Cheadle, that is one of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
Well, speaking of Colin Farrell, did you like In Bruges?
That's
a great movie.
Great
and it's the same guy, Mark McDonough. So I'm really excited to see The Guard.
And it's the same. I would really be interested in see what your review of that would be, because it is such a fantastic movie. And I had just gotten back from Ireland on vacation, and we were in the part where they filmed this part in Western Ireland where they filmed. So that was really neat because it's so different from Dublin and from the city and stuff like that. And it will take you a while for your ear to wrap itself around the brogue and the language and everything. But it's just, and he's amazing. He's like
Brendan Gleeson.
Oh yeah, he's such an underrated.
Makes it look so easy.
He's just amazing.
I'll definitely see that because In Bruges was amazing. And if you like see In Bruges. It's such a, it's so underrated and so not talked about.
And I don't know why Colin Farrell can't open a movie. Why did Fright Night tank?
Didn't he win a Golden Globe for In Bruges, though?
He did.
Yeah.
He totally did.
Yeah.
Because they had
comedy
category.
But I guess,
like
you said, he can't open the movie for some reason.
No.
I don't know.
He can't, but he keeps
working.
He's
a good actor.
Well, Total Recall, obviously, that's going to be a huge release. So we'll see.
Is he the lead?
He's the new Schwarzenegger.
He's Quaid.
Quaid.
Who's Sharon Stone?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
I figured that'd be the first thing you guys would find out.
Bits and pieces of that thing are coming out.
But I have heard that there will be a three-breasted woman in it.
Good.
Yes.
That is not Sharon
That's
Stone.
Important.
That hasn't changed.
That's important. Well, awesome. Thanks, guys. Will you come back and join us again?
Absolutely.
Indeed. I got to get out and see The Guard.
Yeah. Go. Run. Find out if it's playing tonight.
And last thing, what's more embarrassing, the fact that I haven't seen The Help, that I haven't seen Bridesmaids, or that I saw Green Lantern twice?
Huh? Oh, Green Lantern twice, definitely. Definitely. Sorry. Well, thanks guys so much for joining us. We're going to take a quick break here on Broad Topics, and we'll be right back.